Our scripture today comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 5 to 12. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible. The words are on the screen or your Bible at home. Before we get into this, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which you have freely and wonderfully given to us. Your truth, which is able not only to set us free, it's also able to mold us and shape us into the creature you would have us be. And we pray this day that our attention is towards you, that you're able to break in through whatever it is we have going on, that we may see you clearly and hear your word clearly. Also pray, Lord, for your mercy upon the sermon. May it too be used for your glory and your glory alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 to 12. Hear now God's word. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, light will shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For we who are living are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jars of Clay. Anyone ever hear that band, Jars of Clay? Some, I mean, 1990s, and a good band, enjoyed it. Flood, if you ever want to listen, Flood, I think, is their most famous song. Jars of Clay. We'll get to the Jars of Clay in a second. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and at the beginning of our scripture today, he points out the very main purpose for our existence. This is why we're here. This is why we live. This is why we gather. It is a lot more challenging, I think, than just reading. When we read it, it feels so simple, but when we live it, it can be quite difficult. Paul says to the people of Corinth, he says, for we do not proclaim ourselves. Now, what Paul's fighting here is that some of his detractors, the people who want to prove him wrong, the people who want to make him seem small, his critics, are saying that Paul was just doing this ministry for the notoriety of it all, to become famous, to become well-known, in order that people like him. When you proclaim good things, sometimes people like you for that. Churches have very similar temptations for that. We want to be liked. We want to be well known. We want to have that notoriety. We want people to look at us and say, we're the best, or you're really good, or I've never heard anything quite like that, or anything like that. Any kind of words I get in the back when I greet people, when people say, your sermon was great, that makes me feel good. But sometimes it's not always the truth. Sometimes people are just nice, you know. And one of my favorite stories I share is of Ora May, who was in the back, and we were all in the back, and she came back to me and she said, I didn't quite understand your sermon. And I explained the sermon to her in another way. And she said, boy, Justin, that sounds really good. You should have preached that. I appreciated that truth and that honesty from Ora May, you know. Sometimes we don't always get it, but we like it when people like it. and we look at the bigger churches and how they seem to cater to people in all kinds of different ways. But Paul made it very clear why he was here. There's only one reason. And he said, we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as slaves for Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is our only reason for existence, our only motivation in life. We want you to know about Jesus Christ and nothing else. And everything stems from that. The way we love one another, the way we treat one another, the way we're there for one another, the way that we're family comes from our motivation that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Christ loves us and died for us and rose for us and prays for us. But that's, for Paul, is his only message. And however that message got out, however he could share that message, it was the point of that message that was priority. And Paul was so happy with this message and so happy to share this message that when he looked at his own life in comparison to the message, he saw someone lacking. When Paul looked at himself, he didn't think himself as the best or the greatest. In fact, Paul saw himself as the worst, as the one who was supposed to go into the world and persecute Jesus' church, and that was his original purpose. And yet, out of that enemy of Christ, Jesus came to him and said, I choose you to share my message. Paul was such a, overcome with such love and humility that he couldn't understand why Jesus picked him. But because Christ picked him, Jesus preached all the more and all the greater. In fact, when Paul saw himself, he saw instead this. But we have this treasure in clays of jar. He didn't see himself as a bank vault. He didn't see himself as a safe. He didn't see himself as Fort Knox, as a place of great safety, a place of being impenetrable. He viewed himself as nothing more than a clay jar, cracked, broken, fragile. You drop it from a couple feet high, it's going to shatter. You sit on it, it's going to break. You treat it poorly, it won't last. Anyone who has anything of value would know a clay jar is probably not the best place to put it. Paul said of himself, we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that the power, the extraordinary power, belongs to God, not to the jar itself. That it's God who sustains the jar, God who sustains the body. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the death of Christ so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our body. Here's what I love about this scripture. It's not about us. Who are we? Other parts of Scripture describes us as dust in the wind, as flowers that bloom one second and are gone the next. When humanity is described in the Bible, it's used with some metaphor of fragility. And when I look at myself, I see the fragility very clearly. Suffer from depression. I have anxiety. I walk down wrong roads that I know I shouldn't walk. My path isn't always so straight as Christ desires it to be. If Jesus calls me to do one thing, sometimes I'm tempted to do another. When I say that I'm free from sin, I say it by faith, but not by feeling, because I don't always feel that way. The world tugs at me, and I want to go. I feel like the clay jar that's about to collapse at any moment. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. Sometimes when we look at a church, sometimes we want us to be something else, like other churches. Bigger, maybe more financially secure, a building that doesn't have needs that our building has. But the great thing of it is that we are who we are, who Christ created us to be as a church and as individual people. And as we are, Christ is what holds us strong. When we're filled up by the Holy Spirit, we're protected, as Paul says, afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair. Even through our cracks, we're made to hold something extremely precious. And it's Jesus who fills us up. One of the example, a friend of mine, another pastor who's preaching this sermon today, he's a much more visual person. And so what he's going to do for his congregation is that he has a teacup. And if you take a teacup and you turn it upside down and you take a nail and a hammer and you drive the nail through the teacup, what happens? Breaks the teacup. Teacup shatters. You take that same teacup and you put it in water. You take that nail and you turn the cup upside down in the water. And you take the nail and you strike it with a hammer. What does it do? It makes a hole. It doesn't shatter. The things that fill us up, especially if it's Jesus Christ and only if it's Jesus Christ, protects us from what the world can throw at us. Paul is a living witness and does his ministry based upon this very fact. He feels he is the least of what God has made, but yet Christ holds him up. It's not about us. It's not about what we have. It's about what we proclaim. It's about who we proclaim. And through that proclamation, Christ can then hold others up. People can experience the same joy we have. And that responsibility in itself is a great joy. And I thank God for that. Please receive this benediction from 2 Peter 3:18. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen and amen. Go in peace.